This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Choral singing provides young people with an exciting entree into the world of music and often a lifetime of arts appreciation. Over the past 20 years, children in and around Forsyth County have thoroughly enjoyed their experiences rehearsing with and performing in the Winston-Salem Youth Chorus under the direction of founder and artistic director Barbara Beatty. On Saturday, November 2nd, they'll be celebrating their big 20th anniversary in the Stevens Center, beginning at 7 o'clock. On the program will be audience favorites collected over the years, plus a world premiere by renowned composer Dan Locklear, set to a new poem by former North Carolina Poet Laureate Fred Chappell. Winston-Salem Youth Chorus members Daniel Prescott, Paul Gunter, Josh Boos, Olivia Wright, Ruth Kelly, Sam Cashwell, Carmen Hardy, and Adria Faulkner drop by WFDD to share their thoughts on singing. How's it going, Daniel?
Good.
Good. I'll bet you're doing good. You get a chance to sing in a choir. What's it like singing in a big group like that? You said how many people in it?
38.
What's that like?
It's amazing. You can hear all the voices, and our performances are amazing also. Sometimes they're even better than the singers themselves. We got a lot of groups, and we have 4 groups total, but this is only one group, and this is an extraordinary group.
I'm sure it is. I've heard recordings of you guys. It's pretty amazing. What's the most fun part of it?
It's the most fun is just singing. You can just let yourself out of the cage that you're in and just start singing.
Man, I love it. Let's chat with Paul a little bit. Hey, Paul, how long have you been singing?
I've been singing for a long time.
I'll bet. Where'd you start singing?
I just started singing. I didn't start singing good, but I started singing.
When you said you didn't start singing good, but now you sing good, what happened between then and now? What have you been working on to get yourself to sing better?
I've just practiced, and I haven't given up, so.
Man, that means so much. Keep practicing. Josh, how you doing today?
Good.
And Josh, how long have you been singing with the Winston-Salem Youth Chorus?
This will be my 4th year.
Your 4th year?
Yeah.
Wow, how old are you?
I'm almost 12.
Well, you get him started young, Miss Beatty. That's awesome. What have you learned along the way, 4 years into this thing?
I've learned a lot. I've learned how to read notes. I've learned...
You can read music?
Yes.
How about that?
I've learned all sorts of stuff, and the only person I can thank for that is Miss Beatty.
Man, that's a pretty rousing endorsement right there. So, we're moving on here with Olivia, and Olivia... This is a huge program. You got a lot of music, but tell me one of your favorite tunes on the program.
I would have to say one of my favorite songs is probably from The Playful Rainbow. It's called Evensong.
The Playful Rainbow. And I understand this is what they call a world premiere.
It is. It's the first time anyone's going to hear this, and I just can't wait because this is so big.
Man, that's a lot of responsibility, isn't it?
It is.
Now, Dan Locklear, the composer, happens to work right here on the Wake Forest campus. What would you tell him if you were to meet him?
Thank you so much. This music is so beautiful, and I love it so much, and this is never going to go away.
And Ruth, what's one that you really enjoy singing, and what do you love about it?
I really like the Angel's Carol because the tune of it's really just kind of, you want to lean closer and listen to it. It has a really beautiful tune.
And just vocally, I know you all, in addition to learning how to read music, there's a whole bunch of technical stuff you got to do with your instrument and your posture to become a better singer. Give me an example of something else you've worked on with Miss Beatty.
We always, like at the beginning of our rehearsal, we always work on warming up our voice and work on singing higher because the higher you're able to sing in the warm-up, the easier it's going to be for you to sing with the higher voice during the rehearsal.
And they say that you perform like you practice.
Yeah.
So I'll bet you guys are really disciplined and you get it all done. Sam, how are you?
Good.
Good. And how long have you been singing in the group?
This is my first year.
Your first year here. How old are you?
I'm 12.
You're 12.
Oh, no, I'm 13.
You're 13.
Yeah.
Okay.
My birthday was last weekend.
Well, congratulations.
Yay.
So what do you love most about singing with this group?
I really like Miss Beatty because I've had a bunch of choral directors in the past, and she's the best by far. Like,
oh yeah? Why? What makes her so great?
Well, she teaches us a lot of theory along with the music, and she's really funny, and she's not afraid to get up and dance and scream.
And on the program, a highlight moment for you, what are you most looking forward to in this concert coming up?
I really like Knock Knock from The Playful Rainbow. I like the way it sounds. It has like these chord progressions in it that aren't what you would think would go together, but they really seem to like flow. and not in a way you would expect.
Interesting. That Dan Locklear, he's got a whole bag of tricks up his sleeve. Beautiful music. Carmen, you've heard all these very difficult questions I've been asking everybody. It's more like a quiz show. Are you a soprano, alto? What's your voice?
I'm an alto.
You're an alto? What's it take to make a good choral sound?
All the sopranos, altos, and second sopranos have to be able to blend.
Hmm. And when you're blending and you're up there on stage and you're singing for your friends, family, what's the feeling like up there on stage?
For me, I get nervous.
Do you get nervous? Are you nervous from the time you get on stage to the time you get off, or does it wear off at any point?
All the way through.
Yeah, you and me both. I remember when I was in choir, I used to lip sync a lot. Like I couldn't take a good, I'd be take a breath like this, and then I'd just be going. I was the choir master's worst nightmare. I can relate, but I know you all are very accomplished singers, otherwise you wouldn't be in the group, and congratulations. And last but not least, Adria. How long have you been singing with the Winston-Salem Youth Chorus?
2.5 years.
2.5 years? What have you learned along the way?
A lot. I've learned how to collaborate with a group and how to, like, you know, there's not one star. We all kind of just blend together. And I've learned a lot, like reading music and key signatures and stuff like that.
Wow. And I tell you what, blending and getting along goes far beyond the world of chorus. What do you love most about singing in a big chorus? I mean, 38 strong, that's a pretty big group.
Well, the people are really great. I love Miss Beatty. She's a great director. She really knows how to make us work, but we still have fun at the same time, and so it's awesome.
Winston-Salem Youth Chorus founder and artistic director Barbara Beatty joined us in the studio as well. Barbara, 20 years, 20th anniversary of the Winston-Salem Youth Chorus. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
I was wondering, coming in here, over those 20 years, what have you learned about working with young people? And how about, what have you picked up about yourself over that time?
That's a very interesting question. I think that the more a person learns to be who they are, the better teacher they are, and the more they allow themselves to be who they are. The children allow me to be silly at times. They allow me to be strict at times. They allow me to talk a little bit. I don't talk too much, but I talk about what I'm feeling, and if I'm feeling any stress about not knowing the music well enough, I talk to them about it and let them know how I'm feeling. And they respond back with a great deal of trust, and they're fun. And I listen to what they have to say. Also, we try to spend most of the time singing, but there is a time for exchange of ideas sometime, and they know that I really value them and that I don't know what they're going to say and that there are no right or wrong answers. So we develop a great deal of trust for each other, and I really look forward to working with him.
Trust, so important in so many levels. That idea of being yourself is easy said, hard to do. When you're in front, you're supposed to be the role model, and you're up in front of 30, 40 youngsters.
I think if I could say the times I've ever gotten in trouble in my life is when I was trying to live up to my idea of what somebody else might think I should be. And I guess you have to live some years to find out that being yourself and bringing out the best of yourself is what you need to do, and that's what makes you happy. It certainly makes me happy working with these young people.
You've got a world premiere coming up here, which is not all that, I know it's not unusual for you and your ensemble, but for most of the youth choruses I've dealt with, that's a really big deal. And this happens to be a world-renowned composer right here in Winston-Salem. Tell me about this piece.
Right. This is The Playful Rainbow. It is by Dan Locklear, who is, as you know, a wonderful, wonderful composer. He happens to also be a friend, which is great. And we are very fortunate that Fred Chappell in Greensboro has written poetry that we were able to use for this. So not only is the music high quality, so is the text.
Fred Chappell, longtime professor at UNC, but also a poet laureate for North Carolina.
Yes.
And Dan Locklear's music has been played all over the world, including at the somber occasion, the funeral of one Ronald Reagan, former president of the United States. What is Dan's gift in terms of writing for voice?
He has the capacity to bridge lots of different kinds of music, bridge a gap, say, between what you might expect a popular sound to be and a classical or...
The way he resolves dissonances, that sort of thing?
Right, and he can write very serious music and very playful music, too, and it kind of winds in and out. And as one child was talking about the chord progressions and how much she liked them, they didn't always go where you thought they were going to go, but it works out beautifully. And I like it because he's able to... he does a lot of, I think, tone painting. When he's talking about the sun coming out, oh, and you just listen to the flute playing while all these voices are sustaining this wonderful chord. It is just, to me, it sounds like the sun coming out. He just does that over and over again.
Barbara, you've got, in addition to this world premiere by two renowned artists, I mean, talking about Fred Chappell and Dan Locklear, this is a special event in terms of people coming back as well.
Yes, we're working on getting our alumni here.
Nice.
It's amazing how many of them live far away and cannot come. I've gotten so many nice notes from people who would love to be here, but they're in Seattle working at a college or, you know, or in medical school, or they're in law. They've gotten their legal degree and are working in Washington and so forth. And some who would really like to come will be coming home for Thanksgiving, so they won't be able to fly home in beginning of the month also. But we do have, I think we might have between 20 and 30 of our alumni, and I'm pleased about that.
Oh, that's great. I mean, when you've been doing this for 20 years or so, I mean, you get to see your students grow and become adults and have families of their own. What sorts of things do you hear from them over the years?
Mainly, they're very thankful that... that I was as strict as I was. And see, I don't think of myself as being strict because I have so much fun with them, but I think I do ask for more sometimes than what they're used to other places, and people have thanked me for that when they've gotten to college and gotten in music classes, and some have gotten into schools because of some of the theory that I taught them. And that makes me feel very good. And the thing that makes me feel, I guess, best of all is that they've gone in so many directions. Not only are a lot of them musicians, but they have gone into careers that require a lot of self-discipline and a lot of just regular discipline to work to get where they go. And so the skills that they learn in chorus really help, I hope, help prepare them for whatever they want to do. And they can keep singing all of their lives.
There was a great article in the New York Times and the Sunday Review talking about the impact music has had on the lives of so many of the people that we see every day. And they're always in the public eye. Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State, a concert pianist who's an amazing performer. Alan Greenspan, former Fed chief, was a clarinetist, very, very serious clarinetist, waffling between becoming a saxophone clarinetist in jazz or going into finance. Woody Allen, another clarinetist. It just goes, Chuck Todd, an NBC news analyst, was a French horn major and was on the fence about going into music. And all of them, to a T, said essentially the same thing, that the discipline to repeat the same three measures of music over and over again to perfect it paid off huge dividends later in life in whatever career they chose. I thought it was really interesting.
It is interesting, I think. And when my singers have to re-audition every year so that I can hear where their voices are, and also it gives me 15 minutes to talk to them one-on-one, and 15 minutes is better than nothing, and find out what they like best, what they don't like, and just get to know who they are. And one of the girls who said that her parents were trying to talk her out of continuing only because she had something like 5 AP courses. See, I have them all the way through high school. And she said, the thing is that when I come to chorus and I work on the music, I forget all about all the other things, and it's like therapy for me. And I was so pleased to hear that, that while they're working hard at perfecting their voice and balance and the phrasing and all of that, that it sort of takes them out of the trauma, it can be trauma sometimes, of everyday life. And when they're in school and in high school, I think there is an awful lot of stress.
They can lose themselves in the music.
Right.
Now, in addition to Dan Locklear's piece, tell me a particular favorite or old favorite that you're looking forward to performing for folks.
The Angel's Carol that one of the children mentioned by John Rutter is something that people started identifying us with, and our first professionally produced CD was called Hear the Angels Sing.
Well, John Rutter, one of the best composers for voice in the world.
It is beautiful. And children's voices on it, I mean, there's just no comparison. It's gorgeous. There is a piece that you probably remember. It's called When I'm 64, which was the Beatles. So our older kids will sing that. I have to tell you, I love that. I absolutely love that. I love classical music. I love folk music. I love theater music. There's a gem in every kind of music, you know. We also are doing I'm Going Up Yonder. That's the one I want all the alumni to sing with us. It's a spiritual that is so, so beautiful. They don't forget it. So we do have a lot of our favorites on the program.
Well, it sounds great. Well, Barbara, thanks so much for stopping by.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It's great fun.
We're homeward bound from the Arctic Sound with a good ship taut and free.
Winston-Salem Youth Chorus founder and artistic director Barbara Beattie. On Saturday, November 2nd, you can help Ms. Beattie and her students celebrate two decades of wonderful music making at their 20th anniversary concert in the Stevens Center. The concert begins at 7 o'clock with audience favorites from the past 20 years, plus a world premiere by renowned composer Dan Locklear, The Playful Rainbow, set to a new poem by former North Carolina poet laureate Fred Chappell. The concert also welcomes back dozens of WSYC alumni. You'll find links to more information at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and when we get back from this short break, it'll be time to shake things up a bit, take a little step outside from our comfort zones, and get all kinds of Dadaistic, if there is such a word, with Lynn Book and Amy Catanzano. They're stretching the boundaries of art, and you're invited. So climb aboard the creativity train next when Triad Arts Weekend continues.